yanından gider.
O. Now, members, let's start with our work. Acting DG and your team. Members, let me start with the two apologies I'm having from Honorable Kekane and Honorable Ndlazi. Both of them is the issue of other committees which also sit today. The apology for the deputy minister already has been talked to by the minister. So, acting DG, before you take over with your team, originally we have scheduled DOC for 2 days, Tuesday and Wednesday. But we have to postpone it yesterday because of the urgent need to deal with the matter we're dealing with. Now, and that should not affect us to be in a position to deal with this matter thoroughly. Because part of what the committee said last time was that this year should be the year of focus to DOC as a department. We have paid enough focus to the entities. We think that this year must focus to DOC so that we are sure that it has the necessary capacity to execute its duties and so on as a committee. That's why we scheduled for 2 days originally, and then unfortunately. So members, if we are not finishing DOC today, we'll have to proceed Tuesday with DOC. We can't rush it. And unfortunately, afternoon, there's nothing we can do. It's question to the president. So we can't continue afternoon. I'm just highlighting that because we are at no point or anywhere we're going to rush this time. We need to thoroughly deal with things. Otherwise, always they come back to us later if we don't deal thoroughly with issues. So, acting DG, I'll hand over to you to take us through with your team. Another thing, members, before I forget, is that the department has circulated the implementation of recommendation of the committee during the oversight. The document is with you. If you don't have that document, get it. But we are not dealing with it at this time. We'll decide at one point, we'll deal with that particular document and so on. But the document already circulated with you, members, so that you can have it in advance and so on. DG, over to you.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, the CEOs, the chairpersons of the boards and ICASA, members of the media that are here and the industry. Would like to thank the opportunity given by the Portfolio Committee, firstly to assist us, to nourish us, to be where we are today. We can actually see the great strides and the movement on the strategic plan itself that you'd notice when the SOEs come and present. There's a great degree of alignment of prioritizing of the priorities. You'll find that there are five key priorities that we are focusing on, all of us, and that we attribute to the PCC and its assistance to our work. We will start with the third quarter as requested by the PCC. And to this, I would like to raise just some few points. One is that most of the things that are said to be delayed or no progress have been achieved. It's only one or two or four that have not. So it's things that we've already done. Some are still going to be finalized before we move to the next quarter. start with the presentation of the department's performance, the period 20 October to 31st December 2012, focusing on the following areas. Significant quarter three achievements. Quarter three performance against the targets as identified in the 2012-2013 APP, which is annual performance plan. Status progress of the third quarter targets that are achieved, delayed or no progress. Reasons for the delays or no progress. Financial performance by the end of 31st December 2012. How we structure our strategy.
DG, Charles Holt, or acting DG.
Okay.
Do you have the document? The document are available. Staying.
Thank you, Chairperson. We can proceed, but I just want to bring it to your attention that we only received this particular document today, this morning, whilst the other one, the strat plan, we received towards the end of last week. But we can go ahead, Chair. Just means that, you know, they're not going to have to rush through it.
Yeah, we will not rush. We'll get to the issues very slowly.
Acting DG, Kahle Baba. Kahle Baba. No, it's fine. But do we have sufficient copies for members? May I appeal that if there's any document which must go to members, must just go to members. Not to stay in the boxes. Are you all having the document, members, with you? Acting DG, you can proceed, but you must bear in mind that we are receiving the document now. As you can see. I'm not sure whether is the nice one which we receive now or are receiving it now for the first time. You are receiving it for the first time, member. Okay. Acting DG, what might have happened with the document?
I think as far as we're concerned, it's something that would have been long submitted, but we first had to pass it to the principals for final verification before we submit.
The member is asking when was that and so on. Honorable Ntambi, your hand is up.
Honorable Moratuwa is asking when was it? When was the document submitted? Because, you know, Chair, that practice that we need to get documents in advance for us to read the documents and make our own notes and comment. It needs to be adhered to moving forward. Though you're going to be slow, but it minimizes the chance of members to fully participate. Based on that, I think these are the things that need to improve moving forward. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Ntambi. We've got two choices. It's just that it does not make sense if we start with the strategic plan and come to the third quarter later. Because the choice, the first thing is that we should just go straight to the strategic plan because we had that document for a long time. But it just does not make sense that you start with it and later you come back to the third quarter. It won't make sense and so on. Probably, if members are agreeable, let us proceed with the third quarter. But whoever present must understand that we might not be privy to the document. DG, you can proceed.
Thanks, Honourable Chair. I think I've just been requested by the acting DG to just indicate the submission date of the document. I think we received a confirmation last week I think it was Thursday or Friday from the committee secretariat that we should submit the document. It was signed off by Minister on Monday and sent through to the, because I think it was not formally communicated that we will be presenting the third quarter. The document was requested quite late. Okay. Sorry, Chair, I'm actually confusing this with the oversight reports. Sorry, I withdraw my comment. Sorry.
No, it's better if you see it coming, it's okay.
The acting DG, can you just proceed?
Yes, we regard that as a commercial. Honourable Mthambi, we would try and get the documents in time. I think Minister had indicated on a presentation yesterday that at least we try and get the documents 7 days before. I noted that with greatest consideration. To this, we are on slide number 3, the one that has a pyramid. Yeah, here we are explaining the process of how we arrive at doing our strat plan and how it cascades down to our individual performance agreements in the department and our operational team plans of teams and how then it links with the branch business plans and the budgets that are allocated. And in this instance, on the red part, it's where we do quarterly reporting of all the work that we do for the whole year. And we look at the strategic plan over the period of 5 years. But we cut it into 2 and 3 in that process. We'll start with the slide number 4 that deals with some of the achievements that we have highlighted in this quarter. A quarter is a 3 months, once more, so on. These are some of the things that we did as we promised. With regards to the Universal Postal Union Congress elections that South Africa went to participate, the department successfully implemented and lobbied the campaign that led to the election of South Africa for the first time in its history to the member of the Council of Administration in Qatar. And the re-election again to the POC, which were a member of one of the councils. And we got the highest number of votes to the CA. We are the second, highest for the POC of all the African countries. And in the whole world, we voted number 3. So we got the third highest votes in the whole world to be a member of the CA. And to this, we chair some of the committees. South Africa chairs in the whole world the Global Postal Strategy on all the postal issues. That's why we have so much concern about the SAPO and the Post Bank and other related services that we then lead by example as we put up the strategy for the whole world. Another area on the broadcasting digital migration awareness, we've appointed the service provider to provide us awareness, and print and broadcast adverts have comments. I think you've seen them on television. Where they have not been seen very well is on billboards. We're still working on that, and on taxi ranks and other related areas. Although only planned for third quarter, the lending and borrowing and investment policies of the Post Bank were introduced to Parliament in this quarter. In fact, in quarter 2, we are still proceeding then with that process with National Treasurer of effecting the registration of the bank. You'll see as we proceed with our work. The issue of the ICT policy panel that the PCC has been briefed about and that has been requesting for us that we don't have an integrated policy on ICTs in the Republic of South Africa. They have been appointed by the minister. They are operational. DDG policy will elaborate how the sector is participating and the academia are participating, the specialists, researchers, opinion makers, and labor, and the youth structures are participating in developing and reviewing the policy. Among the other things, it's implementation of the cybersecurity incident report team, which is called the CERT, had comments, and both information security and physical security assessment were conducted by the state security agents and subs respectively. So we are moving in this regard. And to this, I just want to remind members as well that South Africa, we one of the countries in Africa that are leading on cybersecurity. In the ITU as well, we sit on the or the board called Impact, that is based in Malaysia, but it's run by the ITU, so our minister sits there as well as a member of the board, so we're expected to lead in this regard as well. There's an area now that we're talking about, which is on slide number 5. A national broadband policy amendments were undertaken and a draft broadband strategy was developed. Furthermore, a draft broadband implementation plan has been developed. This is in line with our participation in CIP15, which we chair, and it's coordinated temporarily by Infraco. I repeat temporarily because Infraco is also a player in the industry and sector, so we are trying to deal with those issues. Funding options for broadband were also developed. To this, I would also want to alert members of the PCC that the allocation that we get from Treasury is far reaching from what has to be done on broadband. We require several billions, not 400 and something billions that we allocated per year. It can't move that much anywhere else in the world. So we'd like members to know that as we do the allocation of the budget. In terms of participation of the youth in this quarter, we're running the ESAT program as usual. We've had 140 young people that are deployed to schools and education facilities in Eastern Cape, Free State, and Mpumalanga, and Northwest. You'd note, as I said earlier on, that as you know, we don't have concurrence, so to work with the Minister of Education, the MSs of Education in provinces and schools, it's not a competitive topic that DOC is well poised on, but we're trying the best we could within and the limited resources that we're having. With regards to the skills development, we started the e-skills courseware and the final national e-skills curriculum development framework and institutional instructional design guideline have been developed. And in this regard, we are moving and there is a great shape. And the development of the e-skills aggregation monitoring and evaluation mechanism was also concluded. These are some of the key priorities that we have highlighted in this quarter. I would then ask the DDGs to go to their respective sections, which is now on, I think, slide number 6, where it's written ICT policy development as one. DDG Piri is the DDG responsible for ICT policy development. He will then go to his areas. I thank you.
With your permission, Chairperson, may I proceed?
DDG Piri.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Good morning to you, Honorable Chairperson, and honorable members. With regards to ICT policy performance for the quarter under review, Chairperson, we're saying that we're supposed to develop a green paper on ICT policy. Following the ICT colloquium which was held, the green paper could not be developed, Chairperson. The department changed strategy and said that there must be a thorough policy making process that is rigorous, and in this case resulted in the appointment of the ICT policy review panel. This would also result in the production of a ICT policy review report, such that the panel will then take its work procedurally to make sure that it also ensures public participation. So we did agree, Chairperson, that we're not going to rush this particular process because there are white paper policies which were produced, and those need to be reviewed.
I hope the not rushing is not to make sure that some of us, when our term comes to an end, you then come later and so on. But it's fine.
No, Honorable Chair, we take the point, but you do appreciate that policy making, especially in this sector, is quite a rigorous process, and it has to follow those processes outlined in your own laws, Chairperson. So, Chairperson, in this quarter, therefore, we issued a tender to invite service providers to help us with the review process itself. And Chairperson, our focus on this was to get consultants who will help us with the telecoms, broadcasting, e-commerce, and postal services. And so, Chairperson, this resulted also in the delays I'm talking about. As we are in quarter four, we have been able to make a great progress with respect to this issue. We have been able to segment the outline of the whole ICT policy process, as it were. And Chairperson, we have also committees, as the acting DG was saying, we have the committees that are looking at now inviting experts who will be able to participate in the whole ICT policy review in this. As I move, Chairperson, the Postbank Act implemented and monitored. You know, Chairperson, that in the implementation of this particular act, which you passed in 2010, there has been challenges with respect to the alignment of the of this Postbank Act with the Banks Act, and this necessitated that we initiate slight amendments to make sure that the regulator who regulates these particular banks in the Reserve Bank is able to give us the necessary support in the implementation of this. So we have run into challenges here, Chairperson, particularly on the alignments around the issues of fit and proper and also the concurrence between the ministers that are responsible for the implementation of the Postbank. So in quarter two, we were able to promulgate the slight amendments which were required here. The enabling policies, Chairperson, were introduced, and we were able to achieve the development of the lending policy, the investment policy, and the borrowing policy. We've been able to achieve that. And also during the course of quarter two. This also goes for the investment policy, Chairperson, and we do believe after the policies were adopted by Parliament, by Cabinet, these are required to be introduced here, and this was done accordingly. Chairperson, we continue to monitor the corporatization of the Postbank, so we are required from time to time to see how the incorporation of the Postbank is moving. To this, we are required to produce a monitoring report on the implementation of that. We do produce this report in order to ensure that we are informing Minister during her bilaterals with the Postbank. In the recent meetings, we have been able to assess the status quo, and we were able to identify the glitches. One of the issues did indicate that in the memorandum signed between Minister of Communications and National Treasury on the promulgation of special regulations for Postbank, these were some of the issues we were able to highlight in the report that the current ministers needs to address as well, because some of the regulations earmarked for regulation of special banks were not actually done, Chairperson. So this is also an achievement which we have been able to do. On the ECA, Chairperson, we have experienced delays here. One is that we are required to develop a regulatory impact assessment report. In the implementation, in the enactment of this particular bill, we ran into an extended consultation process, which was indeed necessary, Chairperson, in our view, and Minister was able to grant that we have extensive consultations. You'll recall in this bill, we had issues of the Spectrum Management Agency. We had issues that related to the powers of both Minister and the ICASA. We then were able to get inputs, Chairperson, which helped us to streamline this particular bill. So we delayed in the development of the regulatory impact assessment, which was completed now in quarter four, and the extended period resulted in the delay as well, as I said. The ICASA amendment bill, Chairperson, was also delayed because we also released the consultation of the bill in the period December to January, and it was not enough for the sector and the members of the public to give us inputs, and extended the consultation period here as well at the request of members of the public as well. But we have been able to conclude this ICASA amendment, Chairperson, because at this point we have submitted to the cluster of government to adopt this for submission to cabinet. So we've made progress concluded in quarter four. The report on the broadcasting services policy finalized, Chairperson, we've been able to achieve this because this broadcasting services report is incorporated in the whole ICT policy review and was workshopped in the department. The post and telecommunications amendment matters, Chairperson, here you recall that the Constitutional Court made a finding around the pension relating to SAPO employee, and this was an instruction by the Constitutional Court that we need to comply with this. So this post and telecommunications amendment bill was then developed but concluded only in quarter four, Chairperson. The award by the Constitutional Court give us a target to finalize this bill, and it is one of the urgent bills which we believe in the next financial year, Chairperson, needs to be handled by Parliament. Chairperson, I am proceeding now to slide number 8 and the position paper focusing on community television support developed. This has been developed, Chairperson. We have been able to achieve that. We have had a workshop with the relevant stakeholders, and this document will be adopted in the department. The broadcast digital policy implementation and monitored specifically relating to set-top box manufacturing and the scheme of ownership. We work with USASA here, Chairperson, because this also relates to the whole issue of qualifying criteria for qualifying households. We have been able to produce the monitoring report. We have been able to observe areas wherein there are delays in the whole implementation of set-top box manufacturing. The key issue here, Chairperson, this is the matter affected by the court case which was brought against the minister by ETV, and at this point in time we have been able to comply with the court order, and Chairperson, the matter is ongoing for discussion between broadcasters, and we're hopeful they will be able to finalize this, Chairperson. We're not able to award the tender because the tender itself is subject, the tender for set-top box manufacturing is subject to the finalization of the matter concerned here. The monitoring report on the implementation of manufacturing strategy, Chairperson, I think this is a repetition. I have already spoken to the whole issue of qualifying criteria. I can just highlight here that we have also been able to develop a local content digital strategy which was submitted and to cabinet, and it's awaiting approval there. Chairperson, I'll hand over to my colleague or to ADG to direct further.
Thank you, Chairperson. ADG Chabukhate will continue in infrastructure. You notice that it's one of the vacant positions that we are unable to fill after we moved the DG to be from the DDG of infrastructure was moved to be the DG of communications. So the vacant was as ever vacant. So it's the DDG that is acting there in that position. Oh, we are moving to infrastructure, the branch called ICT Infrastructure Development, which is slide 9. Yes. it will go to 10, up to slide number 12.
Morning, Chairperson. Morning, honorable members. I will be making a presentation on the work that is being undertaken by the ICT infrastructure development. As you will see from the report itself, that quite a number of issues are delayed. But again, just to ensure the House here that there is a lot of work that has been done, and we're pretty comfortable that come the end of when we do present the fourth quarter, there will be less delayed activities than you would see now. Now, in terms of the report itself, the quarter that we're looking at the third quarter, we're supposed to have submitted for cabinet approval an ECT amendment. But we were delayed in that due to lack of legal expertise to assist us in drafting a document. We had drafted an issues paper, which I did.
I volunteer my legal service person can speed up that. She demonstrated yesterday.
All right. Thank you. but again, so we were a bit challenged by not having the legal expertise to actually do the drafting of the document ourselves. But the big groundwork had been done, and we then engaged the services of a legal person to assist us in drafting. The bill itself has been drafted and has been consulted. It is presently will be presented to the minister for approval that we gazette for public comment. So we're pretty comfortable that at least by the end of this financial year, we'll have a document that has been consulted on and hopefully be able to submit it for parliamentary processes. So that is the status of that. The next issue is the cyber security hub established and cyber awareness program implemented. Now, the specific target there is the operationalization of what we call the National Cyber Security Advisory Council. Now, in terms of the National Cyber Security Policy Framework, the Department of Communications was mandated to do a number of things. One is to establish a Cyber Security Advisory Council. Now, the purpose of this council is to advise the Minister of Communications on policy and technical issues that she needs to deal with in as far as cybersecurity is concerned. And this was done in acknowledging the need for both government and private sector to work together in addressing issues of cybersecurity. Hence, we created this platform to allow members of the private sector to engage with the ministers on cybersecurity policy matters. And we had drafted an approach to this and recommended to the minister that we appoint a council. However, that approach was not approved. We subsequently started a different approach, which has been approved by the minister. And if you had seen it over the last couple of weeks, we had advertised in the paper people to nominate individuals to be part of this Cybersecurity Advisory Council. We're very hopeful that this matter will be resolved before the end of this financial year. Next target was the implementation of a cybersecurity awareness strategy. Chairperson, we have developed a cybersecurity awareness strategy. However, at the point of which this report was done, we had not really consulted on the strategy internally. So this matter has been addressed. Unfortunately, we will not be able to implement this because we do not have the financial resources to implement the strategy, but the strategy is there, Chairperson. The next task will be the establishment of a cybersecurity hub, concluded in line with the project plan. Now, again, this is one of the tasks emanating from the cybersecurity policy framework. We have commenced with the establishment of the cybersecurity hub. Again, here we had one of the things we had to do is find a suitable accommodation for the hub and establish the technical infrastructure for the hub. Now, what we have done at the point of review is that when we had identified the suitable infrastructure, we had to engage the services of the police so that they can ensure that it has the necessary physical security. They had to certify what physical security features we need to put into the building, one. But we also had to engage state security to ensure that the information systems that we put in place adhere to some of the security requirements.
So we had to have those initial assessments first before we could even go on procurement to refurbish the building so that it meets our specific requirements. I'm pleased to inform this house that, that has been done, although there were some delays, but that has been done thus far. So we are proceeding with the refurbishment of the building. But on the another side, we're also creating this hub in what we call a virtual lab. So we were actually doing two parallel things. We're working on the building and then creating the hub itself in a lab. So we had procured the equipment and began the systems development, systems integration, so that, you know, we would have this hub operating in a lab. And then once the building is ready, all we need to do at the end is to bring the infrastructure integrated into the lab, and then we have the cybersecurity hub operational. So that's basically what we have been doing, and there is progress in that regard, Chairperson. If we can go to page 10 or slide 10 on National Broadband Master Plan implemented. In terms of the first quarter, Chairperson here says the National Broadband Master Plan, including reviewed broadband policy and implementation plan, developed and implementation comments. I think here we have experienced quite some delays, Chairperson, but I'm pleased to inform this House that we have been working on the broadband policy. That is, as far as we are concerned, done. I think it's just waiting for the Minister to approve that we gazette that for public comment. But again, and then parallel to that, Chairperson, we have also been working on a strategy. But again, the strategy will be informed by the finality of the policy. But nonetheless, given the tight schedule, we are in parallel working on the strategy, so that once the policy is finalized, then we can see how much work still needs to be done on the strategy before we finalize that. So we are hopeful that we should be able to address some of the policy is definitely done. The strategy, I'm very doubtful that we'll be able to conclude it this financial, given the fact that it's only now that we're going for public consultation on the policy. So, but definitely early first quarter, we should be able to address the strategy and finalize everything. But again, that will be reflected in the work going forward. Broadband infrastructure funding model, still on page 10. We have worked on or looked at a number of funding models. We conducted what we called a market sounding exercise in consultation and in conjunction with Treasury, who are critical to this process, where we engage various stakeholders, both investment banks and operators, to see is there an appetite for such a thing and how would we be best be funded. Out of that, we came up with a number of funding models that are due for consideration. But again, here, Chairperson, I would like to say that, you know, the finalization of the adoption of any particular funding model will be subject to, you know, us finalizing the policy and the strategic approach to say how are we going to implement this broadband. So that the model is there, the approval is still pending. The next target there, Chairperson, is implementation of various interventions by relevant stakeholders monitored. Again, here, I think from where I was sitting, Chairperson, I think when we analyzed this, we thought implementation of the broadband master plan. But because there was no broadband master plan, there wasn't to implement. But nonetheless, I would like to state here that, you know, outside the master plan, there are a number of broadband initiatives that are being undertaken presently. And as part of the broadband study, we have been monitoring those developments, especially in as far as your optic fiber infrastructure that is being laid all over the country is concerned. So we have been monitoring what is happening so that we are better informed when we do develop the master plan. On page 11, GIS mapping portal launched to the public. Again, here the target reflects that it has been delayed. Chairperson, the GIS mapping has been developed. This was part and parcel of our broadband study that was undertaken. What is a challenge or what has not been achieved is launching it to the public. I'm very doubtful that from where I'm sitting, Chairperson, that we will be launching it to the public. But this is what the target says. The job has been done. The mapping is there. but the launching part to the public is a bit of a challenge here. So it's a matter that I will be engaging with my DG to say how do we proceed forward then. Quarter 3, on still on page 10, MOU stakeholders signed to implement identified mechanisms and interventions. Again here, Chairperson, the understanding was that once we had finished with the broadband master plan, we would then enter into relationships with different stakeholders in the implementation of that master plan. And because there are delays in that the finalization of the master plan, that there is literally no progress there, as indicated. The next target, 35% connectivity to schools, monitored as per implementation plan. I think we are doing pretty well in as far as the school connectivity project is concerned. Maybe 54% is about the right one. Out of 1,650 schools, I think we have about 600 schools outstanding. We have not connected those schools due to the fact that the technology that was being deployed was found to be wanting by the end users. So we're currently reviewing that and seeing how best we can address that. So, in short, we have connected about 800 schools. The next target there says, third quarter implementation of DTT rollout infrastructure and managed according to rollout of Centec rollout plan. But I think we're doing pretty well in there. There was a minor delay, but as you heard from what the minister said today, that we really made good progress in as far as rollout of infrastructure is concerned. So there shouldn't be reason to be concerned here going to the end of the year. We're going to page 12 now. There are a number of issues related to spectrum that we looked at. Now, under this quarter, the target will be the second report on the field work approved and signed off by DOC. That is on the radio frequency spectrum usage validated from 900 kilohertz to 500. That task has been achieved, the study has been completed and approved. The next target, final digital dividend spectrum policy gazetted. We're running a little bit late there because prior to developing this policy, we had to undertake a study to fully understand what is the socio-economic impact of the digital dividend. I'm happy to inform this House that, yes, that study is proceeding pretty well. We had the first interim report a week or so ago, and we're very hopeful that the consultants will be able to conclude this study at the end of the month. So we will be delayed there, but again, early next day we should have achieved that achieved this target of having a policy developed. The last one is with regards to aligning our own frequency spectrum plan to outcomes of WRC, and more specifically there, the target was security services consulted on proposed amendments of the national frequency plan. That matter is currently being finalized. This will be achieved by the study was done, but we will be achieving this target again at the end of the year. Chairperson, that will be the end of ICT infrastructure report.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I'm just presenting now slide 13 on the PNC, Presbyterian National Commission. Safe to say, Chairperson, that this Presidential National Commission, as directed by the committee, has now been integrated into the department as a branch, called Information Society Development and Research. But in this quarter, Chairperson, so we are reporting here on the national strategy, including Vision 2020, transforming South Africa into a knowledge-based economy. Chair, if I could just give a background here on what this was about. You'll recall that Minister Padayachi launched a Vision 2020 exercise. This 2020 exercise was integrated into the National Development Planning exercise. and the department had envisaged to develop parallel with that the national e-strategy. And the national e-strategy is called on by the Electronic Communications and Transaction Act. Now, in the whole exercise of looking at the national ICT integrated policy versus the national e-strategy, the department took a decision to delay the development of the national e-strategy because the Vision 2020 also needed to be developed in relation to the NDP. Also, Chairperson, we did undertake a consultation process with regards to how we're going to deal with this. As reported earlier, the Electronic Communications and Transaction Act itself, the bill, was also then reviewed. So this is a target that we have carried over to the next financial year, Chairperson. And in this area, Chairperson, I must also indicate that we did not have a dedicated expertise and resource to deal with this particular target. So it is part and parcel of our recruitment priority in the next financial year. The ICT industry development strategy focusing on ICT niche areas, Chairperson, this uptake and usage strategy was actually developed and achieved accordingly in up to this quarter. The target on the comprehensive digital content programs implemented, focusing on education, health, cultural content, and creative industries, Chairperson, the target focuses on a number of focus areas. One is the area of e-education. Now, the production of content for what we call the National Digital Repository got delayed. The project was transferred to NEMISA, but this could not be implemented because of funding, which was a challenge here. But there were a little bit of work which was done in provinces such as KZN, Chairperson. Honourable Chair, as I proceed to the next slide, still on the same target, Honourable Chair, we have a program that focuses on the military veterans, Chairperson. This program is earmarked to digitize and profile military veterans themselves. We did report when we appeared here that we managed to conduct a training for military veterans in order for them to identify each other and to profile their own lives. we work with the Department of Military Veterans here, Chairperson, on this specific project. We have been able to make good progress here. The challenge with the community that I am talking to here is that their profiles are actually not known. Their database in the relevant department also was also not necessarily cleaned up. So we undertook a campaign to make them aware that they need to be registered in the database. We also understand, Chairperson, that the registration into the database has a benefit for the military veterans themselves to enjoy other benefits such as social benefits in this. So we're able to work in Limpopo, Honorable Chairperson, and Gauteng, where we were able to capture their stories. We are able to also develop this online database, and it has up to this far captured 654 members in that. Because, Honorable Chair, we are preparing for the launch of the program, we have been able to develop a digital video which can be showcased and highlight the stories of the military veterans themselves. Suitable candidates recruited for animation, Honorable Chair, here we have not made progress. we are running short of funding for this project. Animation is a very expensive exercise. The project is supposed to be co-implemented with NEMISA. We have been able to conclude all agreements in this regard with NEMISA, but we have not been able to give them the necessary funding to achieve this target. On creative industries, Honorable Chairperson, we held a workshop here in October, and we also were directed to establish a national task team on creative industries. Creative industries is identified as a potential area of job creation as well, and we were able to also produce the necessary report for this industry, Honorable Chairperson. On education content uploaded in the portals using mobile access, the Department of Basic Education here, Chairperson, preferred that a workbook be changed from a physical book in the electronic format. So we are not able to move ahead with this because of the understanding that we need to reach with the Department of Basic Education as the custodian of the Edu Online portal, Honorable Chair, and we have experienced some delay there in this quarter. The work is indeed ongoing. The local content and digital strategy implementation, this is indeed, Chairperson, being implemented and is part and parcel of the work we're doing on creative industries, on monitoring the creative works by performing arts, and this work is also headed by the Honorable Deputy Minister and is reported directly to the committee in the presidency. On the rural development strategy, Honorable Chair, we have been able to proceed here with the first phase of the project, where we have produced the report looking at the topographical outlook of the targeted 61 rural sites, and Chairperson, to complete the whole feasibility exercise, we have experienced delays here. We are supposed to finalize the development of business plans on how, what is identified as lacking in those rural nodes and what it will take to implement specific projects. This includes postal services, mobile services, broadcasting services in those areas, Honorable Chair. So the business plans for this particular project have not been concluded as yet. And we have a task team in the department that is doing the oversight on this particular work. This, I think, relates to Dr. Veso on the national skills, Honorable Chair. Dr. Veso.
Good morning, Honorable. Probably before Dr. Veso, you come in, I've got a note. That Mr. Ngoma, the committee secretary, as you can see, is not here. And we have not started with our meetings as we're supposed to. His wife is not well, so he's with her in the hospital. I don't know how many she'd have. But his wife is not well. I'm not sure which one, but he's not well. He's with her at the hospital and so on. But I must also indicate that the AG has joined us. Madame Maybach is here with us. Members, I wanted your guidance because I was told that she is already outside. The difficult thing, I was looking at the number of slides remaining, is too many to finish. And secondly, the people in Parliament, they've got the time to come and collect.
So if you don't take your tea and the time to collect comes, they take. Whether it's full or empty, doesn't matter. They work like robots. They just, you see a robot, you program, you put, you take. So they just work like that. When the time to collect comes, they collect. Probably, but I will be guided by my members, probably can proceed until 12, just to get the presentation, then we go and break at 12:40. You can proceed, Dr. Veso. Oh, Tatu Veso.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, and good morning also, Honorable Members. I have a brief report back. For third quarter, we had three very important targets on page 18 of the presentation. The first target was about developing an e-skills aggregation monitoring and evaluation mechanism, and we've achieved that, and that is about monitoring right from the beginning exactly what is happening in terms of e-skilling. You will know that the National Development Plan speaks about an e-literate society by 2030. So we need to have a monitoring and evaluation system in place so that we know where we're going and how we will achieve.
Tatu Veso,
yes.
Just a little bit. I've got another note that Madame Maybeck, she's not alone from the AG. So it's her and her team which she came with. Sorry to do that, Tatu Veso. You may proceed.
Okay. Thank you, Chairperson. So that is, has been done, and we already implemented that, so we know exactly at this point in time where people are skilled and by whom. That we work in association with universities and other institutions. So we have quite interesting data already. The next target was a research colloquium, and this is a colloquium where all the people involved in the eSkills Institute deliver their research papers. We also get papers delivered internationally. As you know, that the eSkills domain in the world is a new there's a new agenda in for new skills to be developed to support a knowledge-based economy. So it's important that we bring these researchers together, share ideas, and then filter that through into the institute. So we've achieved a very good colloquium in this third quarter. Then also, I think this is also a very important target, so virtual network for knowledge transfer developed. This is about distance learning, virtual learning, and you can understand that if we have to be a e-literate society by 2030, there's no way in the world that
I'm not sure about the parliamentary part of this thing which I hear, but I'll check to the National Assembly rules what does it say about this thing.
Thank you. We have established a developed a proof of concept in collaboration with the private sector to build a virtual hub that will support distance learning and virtual learning into the future. We do at the moment also collaborate with the Department of Higher Education and Training. Many of the courses that we develop in the Institute are also courses to be online, blended learning, face-to-face and virtual. So we've developed this virtual network hub. It's located here in the Strand, in the old 112 building, and we're in the process of also populating the system I can say that if everything works, and this will be used as a basis to also roll out technology in collaboration with USARS and other entities to provinces and to local communities. So the nature of e-centers or ICT centers and so on will change in the near future, and acting DDG Jabu indicated that they're upgrading the technology so that we can then also virtually engage with these communities in rural areas. So that has been done and is in the process of being rolled out to rural areas as well. Thank you, Chairperson.
Chairperson, he has skipped back to, I think, the target on page.
I don't see the skipping rope.
Slide 14, where it deals with comprehensive national e-skills program and implementation towards GRID. The HRG Council.
I'm sorry, I've presented my part on the e-skills.
But your part seems to be all over. That's what you had to verse, Honorable Mthambi.
This was presented by outside. Mr. Piri dealt with this. And the problem is that you were outside. You're just taking us back. You should look. This one, page 7. Yeah. And then the indication was that on the point of direction, like what Dr. Vesa said, as he was presenting on the PNC, he said Dr. Vesa must pick up the issues that relate to his section. That's what is happening.
DDG?
Yes, Honorable Chair. I will just then conclude the follow-on slide there that deals with unemployed youth on the... This is it will probably be slide 16 on the same page that Honorable Mthambi was speaking to.
Staying.
Could we just go back to the bottom of slide 15, Chair? The e-commerce platform and the use of ICTs within government, that hasn't been dealt with. That was where it went off track, because the one just before that referred to e-skills, and I assume the DDG spoke about that.
What is what? The other one, the parts are all over. The other one wants to pick up. There's a skipping rope. The other, what exactly? DDG period.
Ah, yes, Honorable Chair. I think the directive by Honorable Stein is correct. We need to speak to that slide to complete the e-commerce as well as the follow-on point there on the municipalities. Just to report there, Honorable Chair, the e-commerce platform itself, it's simply a program designed to promote online trading by small businesses. And it focuses on arts and craft and tourism. This is an initiative we are working with tourism and the Department of Trade and Industry. And in this case, we have been able to activate, Honorable Chair, this platform. We hosted workshops in the provinces of Mpumalanga and Northwest to assist small businesses to be able to take advantage of the online platform itself. and the content specifically for tourism, arts and craft was populated such that they would be able to have their products advertised and showcased on the platform. It is a measure, Honorable Chair, that is aimed at promoting the use of ICTs by small businesses. The next target, Honorable Chairperson, is an issue that deals with ICTs within government and specifically municipalities. We have a program that we are working with SALGA and municipalities, and largely, Honorable Chair, this is a program that helps us to deploy also e-cooperatives who are trained by the department to assist with websites. We have been able to engage with SALGA and signed the MOA, and the MOA signed with cooperatives to develop these particular websites. And in this case, Honorable Chair, we then are able to facilitate a working experience for the e-cooperatives as well as for them to get a small income. Indeed, the amount we pay to the cooperatives is not as competitive, Honorable Chair, because this is also a pilot that helps with job creation, but it helps in some way. Participation of unemployed youth in the Information Society and Development Program. We have a program as well, Honorable Chair, that we are working with National Development Youth Development Agency, the NYDA. We use their unemployed youth database, Honorable Chair, to identify suitable young people with skills to can be deployed in the centers of education and health facilities. So we are currently running about 140 of these young people who are also trained to service schools, to support with administration. And this program, Honorable Chair, is also encouraging employment opportunities in the numbers that we often enroll. At the end of the program, you find that most of these people are already having a full-time employment. So it facilitates also skills development. And this has been a good achievement. We pay a stipend on this one, Honorable Chairperson. On the ICT research agenda, focusing on ICTs, Honorable Chair, this is where we are monitoring the broader ICT uptake and usage and adoption, looking at MDGs. Specifically, also we also produce in this program a national e-readiness report looking at all the ICT indicators. And this program, Honorable Chairperson, is actually delayed. We are working with the University of Stellenbosch to produce this particular report. And the baseline on the on the impact of ICTs, Honorable Chair, this is ongoing work that we're doing with the CSIR and the Department of Science and Technology. And we have an agreement here that the DG has signed with the CSIR, and they help us monitor impact. That is progressing well. Honorable Chair, we had a program looking at developing ICT scenarios, and this program was going along with the Vision 2020 process of the department and also the National Development Planning exercise. Now, Honorable Chair, we have run into challenges here. We had undergone a tender process to procure expertise of a service provider to do this particular work, and Honorable Chair, we have experienced delays because the tendering process was then not proceeded with. The work on the ICT scenarios is incorporated in the ICT policy review process, which will look at all the four sectors across the board, and that will support the ICT policy review panel to do its work. So the work has actually been streamlined in the quarter four with the ICT policy review process. ICT research and innovation framework developed, we have developed a concept here that we are cooperating with a DST, especially around ICT research and development niche, Honorable Chairperson, and we have developed this document, and it was workshopped in November on the relevance and the alignment of the document with the DST's DST's ICT research and development program that was adopted by Cabinet. On the ICT Indaba, Honorable Chairperson, the ICT Indaba, we are supposed to monitor the implementation of the declaration itself. The work has been cascaded into other branches and other SOEs in the alignment of programs, specifically on broadband. DDG Jabu Hadebe reported extensively on what we are doing with broadband there. SMMEs and so on, we've been able to report on that. The impact on ICT programs on job creation, Honorable Chairperson, the Department of Economic Development requires that we give them a quarterly report on job creation. Now, the challenge that we experience with the reporting, Honorable Chairperson, is that we have to report on the whole sector job creation, and we do not have a mechanism that enables us to give a holistic job reporting on this. But in the preparation for the General Lekgotla of Cabinet, we have been able to collate information from our SOEs and companies in the industry on how far they've fared on the implementation of the national growth path. So the figure of 30,645 jobs, Honorable Chairperson, is only to the extent of the companies that have been able to report to us in terms of the dashboard of the national growth path itself. So this, I say that we are able to report, however, we're not able to report fully, for instance, on companies such as IT who may be contributing to job creation. And we take note that to be able to be fully report on job creation, you probably need a periodic surveys, which are extensive, and would not have funding for such extensive a job surveys that may help us to achieve accurate reporting quarterly. The comprehensive e-skills, I think Dr. Veso has spoken to the e-skills plan and all of this. Unless, Dr. Veso, you have some additions there on the National E-Skills Plan for 2012, which was developed.
Yes, perhaps. The first one there is about the curriculum development. As we all know, there's a serious shortage of skills in ICT and also e-skills in the country. And there's also a mismatch between what our educational institutions deliver and what is actually the need in society and in the economy. So what we had to do was to develop a curriculum framework for e-skills, because there's no need, you know, to do more of the same. So we had to develop a national e-skills framework and also an instructional design guideline. How do we offer the new qualifications, and how do we teach in a 21st century environment? So that has been done. The second one there is the National E-Skills Plan of Action. We had a second summit to develop the second national e-skills plan of action, that was the summit was attended by 53 countries. We did it in collaboration with the International Telecommunications Union and the United Nations Development Program, and it was very successful. And we, out of that, we then put together a second national e-skills plan of action to take us forward into the next 2 years. And every year we have a meeting to make sure that we online with our implementation. Mm-hmm. Of course, we will have to cost this new plan, and that will then facilitate, you know, further implementation. And that is actually fit into the page 18 that I've already presented.
Before we go to international, to assist the process to move a little bit faster, probably we must say that can you talk to delayed and not achieved? That will help us. If it is achieved, it's fine. Probably members can ask what does that mean. But if just talk to delay and not achieve. DG, acting DG.
Okay, so we go back or we do the remaining ones. Okay, we'll ask international to take its part.
I was looking forward to speaking to achieved, so now I have to speak to delayed and not achieved.
My apology.
Okay, that's a bit of a short straw, but here it goes. Do you want me to skip the other parts entirely and just go to those parts that are okay?
I could see that you are focusing on that.
Okay, I think then the first one is, okay, delayed was the third quarter target for the South African EU work program. This is very much on target at this stage. I think at the end of last quarter there were a lot of commitments in the international branch, which made it difficult to conclude this target. But certainly, I think by the end of the financial year, it'll be concluded. Basically, what's been discussed and agreed is that we're hosting the dialogue at the end of May, and right before the dialogue, we're going to be having a workshop to deal with international best practice in broadband implementation and rollout. And we'll also be doing a study tour early in the new financial year of some of the East European countries that have been recently engaged in broadband rollout. There will be one other workshop that will take place to do with DTT, but that will be a rather small event. But again, it will be bringing together international experts. So I think that target is going quite well. Then the next one I see is the IBSA e-readiness tool developed for country consultation. This is under this is a third quarter target for the bilateral. Let's come on the right page. Yeah. I think that there's been problems in scheduling meetings within IBSA, so this is something that's going to have to be worked on a bit with a bit more vigor to try and resolve this. There's also been issues raised about human resources capacity within the bilateral unit, which is responsible for these kind of strategic relationships. On the next target, where it's indicated no progress, there's a working group within IBSA dealing with free and open source software. Again, there's been an issue about scheduling meetings for this group. However, I should indicate that there is work going on between South Africa and Brazil directly on free and open source software, in particular some softwares that the Brazilians have, which is very effective in the area of e-government. Then We have the targets of South Africa, Brazil, an MOU on ICTs to be signed off and initiated to agree on modalities of cooperation. This MOU is in fact signed off, but is finalized, but there hasn't been any further progress in terms of signing it off. So they've got a document, but they need to finalize whether to conclude the formal agreement that's required for implementation. Then the next one is the preparations of signing the South Africa-India MOU on ICTs and briefing submitted to Minister for consideration. Again, there's been no significant progress in this area. And again, there's a question about whether we can submit presidential minutes without a specific date of signature, but I think the real issue is to finalize an arrangement for a formal signing. And then we have, again, no progress on the first draft digital framework submitted to our counterparts in the Indian government. And this was, again, an issue of capacity and of scheduling. And we have the draft South Africa-Mexico MOU submitted to the presidency for endorsement. This was a DOC initiative, and we have participated in the South Africa-Mexico senior officials meeting, and we presented a draft MOU for consideration. But to follow up this draft MOU, there's been a problem again scheduling meetings. Then the next one where there's no progress is the INSPIRE program. This is a Finnish Information Society program, which has previously done work in some of the provinces in South Africa. The idea was to expand the work beyond the original provinces to include others. But there has been very little delivery here as well because of human resource constraints. Also then, the next target where there's been no progress has been MOUs submitted for legal scrutiny to state law advisors. As I'm sure you're aware, all MOUs have to go to the state law advisors to be cleared legally. But there's been problems again scheduling meetings with, the chief state law advisors in Durko to finalize those. Okay, then the next one is relating to ODA funding. This is an issue that's going to be moved from the bilateral chief directorate to the trade chief directorate, and it is in the process, I believe, of being capacitated with a director to deal with ODA. So I hope we will see significant progress in future, but there's none at the moment. And then the last target, which is delayed, I think this is the last one, is dealing with our trade unit, strategic trade and investment programs for the ICT sector to develop. The trade unit has exchanged views on programs to include India, Russia, and Qatar with a number of ICT SMEs. And application forms for outbound investments and trade initiatives were circulated to the SMEs in order to make direct applications to Trade and Investment South Africa. But this project is still in work in progress. And then, of course, the idea is at some point we'll also have an ICT trade and international exhibition, which will be targeting SMEs and developing international links for SMEs. So I think the challenge is really, I think, in the international units are residing. There's three units in international. There's the Africa unit, the multilateral unit. Sorry, there's four. Then there's the bilateral unit and the new trade unit. So I think the challenges we've really been experiencing are relating mostly to the bilateral unit. Some of the work in the trade unit is delayed, but the unit is still quite new. So I think these are the issues we would need to address as a branch and as the department, because the branch plays an important role in supporting the work of the department. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. Now I understand why you wanted to talk to the achievement, because there are very few. The rest are the delays and so on. Members, let's break just for 10 minutes, just to get the tea and come back, and then we proceed. Let's get this.